Welcome back to the Sonic Truth Podcast. This week, we welcome Shantae Howell, Creative Director at Acast. She talks about branded content creation on podcasts and how the burgeoning channel can provide value for brands beyond the standard commercial break. Welcome again to the Sonic Truth.
Welcome to the Sonic Truth, Shantae.
Thank you for having me, Scott. How's it going?
Pretty good. Happy to be here and excited to learn more about you and what you're doing at Acast. Let's dive in. Maybe give us a little bit of background about yourself first before we get to what Acast does and tell us kind of how you got to this point today.
Yeah, absolutely. So I really started out in a kind of weird place where I was doing everything from working on football designs with graphic designers to helping with different sports events, which I'm not very into sports, with Wilson Sporting Goods when I first started off in the field, then moved into PR to be a little bit closer to my degree, and was shipping a bunch of like Depends and Kleenex boxes to reporters that didn't like it, and found myself really craving the more digital side of things. So I spent some time at Facebook after that, really doing consulting with different brands and agencies on how to use Facebook creatively, and wanted to lean more into that creative side, as I was noticing as much as I could make recommendations, sometimes the creative as much of you as you can optimize it and make sure that it's, you know, certain format and length of time and all of that good stuff. If it's bad creative, it's just not going to do well. So then most recently, before I joining Acast, I was at Vox Creative, which is the creative arm of Vox Media, working on everything from short form films to branded podcasts, and really wanted to just lean into my love for branded audio. And so now I'm at Acast, where I'm really excited to be working on creative across the Americas, from Canada to the US to Mexico.
You're busy. So talk a little bit maybe about just branded audio for a second.
Yeah, absolutely. Branded audio, I really see as being branded content that's in audio form. It can lean very much into a brand's key messaging or points, but it's really through the lens of the podcaster and really has an emphasis on storytelling when it's at its best, I think.
Okay, and that could be as short as a host read ad, a kind of pre-made ad, or a whole episode or a series?
Yeah, absolutely. I think folks do it in different ways. So the way that we do it at Acast is, at its shortest form, it's around 2 minutes, and we do branded episodes as well, which I think is a lot of what drew me to Acast. I'm a big fan of church and state when it comes to journalism, but it often provides some barriers to entry in terms of really creating long-form content within a podcast. So we do have the opportunity to work with podcasters to create entire episodes that are really built off of a brand's, you know, campaign and the spirit of what they're hoping to talk about. But we also have branded segments, which present an opportunity for a brand to really tap into also the rest of the content that's happening throughout the episode and really insert their brand messaging and products in an authentic way. And then we do also have branded podcasts, which I think it's kind of up for debate when you should do those. I think it's something that we're seeing advertisers being a lot more thoughtful about, which we really appreciate, because not everyone should have a branded podcast. And unless you're really servicing a white space, I would say 9.5 times out of 10, there's a podcast that's out there that you could actually be pouring into and nurturing as a brand, as opposed to building something up from, you know, the ground without necessarily having the funds to sustain it and really service that audience.
Right. So in a lot of cases, it could be a brand saying, you know, I make microphones or audio equipment, let's say. There's probably podcasts about that already. I can go in and sponsor or partner with that podcast rather than create a whole new podcast from scratch about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And even do, as to the point of like branded episodes, something that we've been doing a lot with brands is saying, there's this existing show, let's think about what thematic alignments maybe exist for certain seasonal moments of the year and do a 4-part series that feels very authentic and ownable to your brand.
Okay. And you're in charge of creative for all advertising, or you're kind of working on creative, or how are you, I guess, what is your role specifically as it relates to creative?
I really focus on branded content now. We're looking to get more into focusing on the shorter formats like ads and host reads as we go forward. But I think what's really great about the working model that we have at Acast is that we do work really closely with our creators to provide talking points and direction, as well as working with the brands that we partner with. And so they are, in many cases, like, they're working at Instagram, or they were editors in their, you know, prior lives. So they have a lot of creative direction that they have to work with. And 9 times out of 10, I'll listen to something and have not a single note, because they're so great at what they do.
Creatives love getting notes.
Yes.
Their favorite thing is to get notes. There's an interesting landscape out there. Yeah, at Veritonic, we partner with lots of different audio companies. But you have Spotify, and you have SXM Media, and you have all these, you know, podcast and podcasting. And there's kind of this like in between where a lot of stuff happens. There's a lot of big companies in there. There's a lot of activity. And some of them are connected. Like some things might happen on Acast, but also run on Spotify or Pandora, whatever. Give us like just the landscape maybe of how Acast fits into that world and what Acast does specifically.
Yeah. Absolutely. So at Acast, we really believe in the open ecosystem. So we are a podcast platform that really allows podcasters who are independent or are as a part of a network. So we have the New York Post, for example, we have Yahoo shows, we have BBC shows. So we work with both big networks and independent creators to really make sure that they're able to monetize across platforms. So that means that their shows are showing up wherever podcasts are available. And it really gives folks the opportunity to really meet their audience where they're at. And I think that's really at the core of what we believe in. Where Acast really comes into the mix across a variety of departments is one, helping them with audience development and really making sure that they're able to reach that audience and grow their audience over time. And then also supporting them in monetization, which is kind of the ecosystem that I fall under, as branded content is a big part of that. And as we talk about independent creators, a lot of the time where we're seeing, you know, an ability for them to both grow their show and really grow relationships with brands and, you know, make the most efficiency out of their time and effort, knowing that many of them are not just podcasters, but are also writing books and doing live shows and a variety of other things is in branded content. So that's where we're really working with them to make sure that they're making the most money that they possibly can and really working with brands that are aligned with their values.
Okay, so Acast can help a brand, an advertiser, but they're also helping creators as well. So if someone has a great idea for a podcast or there's a podcast that's already out there that's got an audience, Acast can help in a more open way distribute and monetize that podcast. Is that one way to look at it?
Yeah, absolutely. And our content and partnerships team are amazing. I know that's not what this is about, but I work with them every day just to make sure that we're really being thoughtful about what brands we're, you know, plugging in when we're doing pitches and figuring out what are the shows that make the most sense for this. Who would this be the most authentic to? We're working on a campaign right now for Taco Bell, and we went around and we're like, who is a fan of Taco Bell? And got a long list and like quotes of folks who love Taco Bell from our content team because they're so intimately familiar with the podcast that we work
with. Could have called me. So the creative world now, like in audio advertising, has come a long way. So some people might look at this and say, okay, I'm going to advertise on a podcast and the host is going to read it, or I'm going to advertise on a podcast and it's going to be programmatic. They might be hearing both ends of the spectrum. They might not be sure what a good piece of podcast creative sounds like or what a good piece sounds like versus a bad piece. What's happened? Like, what would people kind of coming to this now see that they maybe wouldn't have seen before? What's new and what's different that you're doing at Acast that maybe you didn't even weren't doing back at Vox or at other times?
Yeah, I think folks are kind of in a space of, you know, listeners are aware when they're listening to an ad. And I don't think by any means they want to be hoodwinked. Like, we're very big on disclosure at the beginning of everything that we do that's branded. We're disclosing that this is a piece that is brought to you by X brand and Acast Creative. But listeners also don't want to feel like they're listening to an ad. So that's something that we're very intentional about as well, is just making sure that we are using this as an opportunity to maybe give listeners a different side of a podcaster. So while they know that this is an ad, if we're working with, for example, Caroline from G-Thanks Just Bought It, we're not going to be, you know, talking about the roundup of products that are available on a certain brand site, but instead we're going to talk about what is she looking to gift her mother for Christmas and how is she bringing in her siblings to that process and the emotional aspect behind that. And I think that giving listeners an extra piece of the podcasters that they love and that exposure to their personal lives through what is essentially, you know, branded content and ad feels really powerful.
And how's audio different? Like, obviously, I come from the audio world, so I'm biased, but like, I do think there's a relationship happening between the listener and a piece of audio content versus the relationship that exists between a person and visual content, let's say. So what's different? Like, what would you say from a creative standpoint and from a relationship standpoint is unique about audio?
I think audio is just so incredibly intimate, and I'm also biased. But I think it's worth noting that, like, you know, 20,000 listeners, you know, per week is nothing to scoff at. But when you get to the podcast world and you can kind of compare that to video, you don't necessarily see folks, and I'm going to like bite my tongue a little bit here, but you don't necessarily see folks in the video space who are getting, you know, 20,000 views a week necessarily having the influence that podcasters do, whereas some of our podcasters with 20,000 listens per week also have blogs or are able to publish books or really have this ecosystem, and that's something that's rooted in their podcast platform because listeners are so loyal. So even if you have a small audience in podcasting, that audience will just expand and stretch above and beyond for you because they want to grab every piece of what you're giving them. And I think, you know, it's something that we've talked about for a while. Audio is just such an intimate medium, and it's something where you feel that relationship with folks because you really do feel like you're in the room with them depending on how it's produced. So I think that's really the special part of audio that we're seeing folks kind of starting in audio now, where, you know, there's also the trend of influencers moving into audio, but we're seeing the opposite happening.
How do you kind of wrangle somebody who has a vision for creative that doesn't really mesh with the audio kind of context yet, or the context of that? Like, how do you get the creative and the advertiser lined up? That sounds like a complex process of getting those two. I'm sure there's times where people are just on the same page, but I would say there's probably times when it's not that. So how do you bring somebody to this where it's accessible and help them achieve that authenticity?
Yeah, that's my favorite problem to have. I think our podcasters are actually incredible partners in that. And I think a lot of what we do is pulling from examples that are editorial, actually, to say, here is kind of a nugget of what inspired this creative. When we're pitching different branded content to brands, we're not like pulling it out of thin air. We're actually being thoughtful about what our podcasters are already talking about and being able to reference, hey, they had this conversation on small business ownership as a Black man in this previous episode, or comedians that inspired them, or talking about award season and the lack of representation. That's why we recommended this podcast, and that's why we recommended the specific format and storytelling approach, is really a helpful way to let them know that we're really trying to approach it from a place of authenticity, and giving listeners more of what they're coming for, because that's why they're listening to the podcast. And at the end of the day, the goal is for our podcasters to retain those listeners so that they're retaining those listeners for the brand's audience as well.
Obviously, we measure a lot of creative, right? So we're analyzing a lot of audio content. And the one thing that always has been interesting, especially over the last 5 or 6 years, is just how much of it is either cut and pasted from somewhere else where somebody took like a TV spot and threw it in there. Or what also is interesting is people run very few creatives, right? So someone might be spending a ton of money on audio advertising, but they might be running one ad or something crazy like that. So you see a lot of that. I think quality creative is at a premium, but it's also not as common as I think people think. And how do you separate the fact that you're producing something premium and targeted and it's Acast creative, right? That's obviously differentiated from somebody just throwing any ad up there. How do you work with people to kind of create that? This is premium. This is not just slapped together. And do you get pushback on that sometimes?
Yeah, I actually think we've been lucky to not get too much pushback in that sense. I think what we more so have to do is some education around why branded content when folks aren't coming for branded content. So I think folks often want to stick with sponsorship, host reads, and not move any further than that. But when you're doing sponsorship host reads, I think there's a lot of value in that. And I think that's still an opportunity to do storytelling. So that's what we're doing as well. So we're finding ways to do nuggets of small instances of storytelling in those sponsorship host reads. And then we're really leveraging examples of how we've done that in bigger and better ways for branded content. So we're really seeing it as an opportunity to build and lay the foundation and grow that relationship over time. I also think one thing to think about is, like, we know that frequency is such an important part of any advertising mix. And one way that we're kind of seeing branded content play a role in that is frequency is really about the amount of time a brand gets to spend with their audience, and doing longer form content is almost a way of like faking that frequency over, you know, one or a few executions. So that's one way that we're approaching it as well.
Do you find people are still kind of, the host read ad is what they know and they're kind of stuck on that concept?
I think they're stuck on it in some ways, but I think they're also kind of hungry for a little bit more, which I'm really excited to see. I'm seeing a lot of like sponsorships are great, but we'd also like to build off of that. So to that aspect, like, we have this product that's called Sponsorship Plus, and it's actually where we take one voice and we distribute it across a variety of different podcasts. So for example, if we're thinking about like Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic, who is huge in the podcasting space and really big on all things reality TV. If we're thinking about it across our reality TV and dating vertical, for example, we would then have his voice host the sponsorship read, and then it would go across other podcasts within those collections, where folks who, you know, might not listen to his podcast are still going to be very familiar with his voice because he's someone who I think was on The Bachelorette recently and who we see on Bravo. So that's someone who is notable to folks in that community, and that's a really great way of actually achieving that scale.
I guess Acast has a huge advantage there in that you not only can create relevant or targeted creative, but you know where that audience is, so you can connect those two things together.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes my job so much easier. Like, I'm not the distribution expert, but I can tell you that the tools and solutions that we have just make it so much easier for me to be really thoughtful about the creative and say, when do we actually need to tap into multiple podcasters versus when should we really lean into creating a bigger ecosystem around one podcaster and think about the different extensions of distribution because we have those incredible tools.
So tell us a little bit about the example that we have queued up here.
This is from Bet on Yourself, which is hosted by Fred VanVleet of the Raptors and Derek Folk, who is his business partner. And this concept really came out of our relationship with Parlay that was fostered by the content team in Canada, where they came together and really thought about what are the different aspects of business that are impacting people of color across the state and beyond. I'm sorry, across the country and beyond. And we're really thoughtful about, you know, working with small business owners and interviewing them and understanding their challenges, and then also making recommendations on how they could expand their business from their perspective, knowing that, you know, I think what's really great about this is that Fred is such a giant in the sports world, but folks don't really necessarily always know about his business acumen. And so being able to see not only all of the thoughtful advice that he's able to give to those folks, but also understand where some of that mentorship came from with his business partner, Derek Folk.
So I can play the clip, and here we go.
I love that Nate's a dreamer. His energy, his positivity, you could see the passion, you could hear the passion, you could feel the passion come through when he was presenting to us. I think that he's very detailed. I love the way that he's built the company and trusting other people to lend their expertise. And I think for me, I could see the sports in him, you know, with being on a team and being coachable and being accountable. But he definitely reminded me of somebody that D-Folk will work with. Derek was smiling ear to ear listening to him.
Well, you know, I think I was impressed because Nate came in with the data. You know, he was probably a little bit more aware of his numbers and data, probably more than anybody else we've spoken to thus far. And I think the great thing about that is then he can use a tool like QuickBooks or a program like QuickBooks Online to, you know, become more aware of as he plugs in and he begins to, you know, create sales for his company or revenue starts to come in. He can use QuickBooks to always, you know, take a look at his financial reports.
I appreciate you guys.
Yeah, so thanks, man. I want to thank our guest, Nate Bahar with Firework, for sharing their story with us today. And we want to wish him the best. Also,
one thing that stood out to me, which we didn't talk about in leading up to it, was the music bed. We've done a lot of research at Veritonic about the importance of a music bed in an ad and how that can really help with creative. Is that like music from the podcast and in this case, and just out of curiosity, how much do you use music in your creative as a whole?
Yeah, that was actually music from the podcast, which we love being able to integrate. And we also leveraged it for the sponsorship reads that we did for the show, both for the brands within Bet on Yourself, and then also as we were working with Fred to make sure that we were doing reads in other shows that were both, you know, promoting Intuit's brands as well as the show itself. So yeah, we use music for a recent campaign also that we worked on for the holidays that I thought was really thoughtfully done, and just bringing in that little jingle. And I think it really depends again on the show. So we want to be thoughtful about, is there intro music that the show is using? Do they use music throughout the series as well to kind of indicate certain moods or points? So that, you know, if it's a show that generally doesn't have a lot of music other than the intro, perhaps we would just do kind of a jingle at the beginning to indicate that it's the beginning or the end of the segment. So yeah, just being really thoughtful about what are the existing formats that our podcasters are executing.
Right, right. Now, in music, sound design and music, it's a double-edged sword. If you get it right, it's amazing, but it also introduces the risk of getting it wrong as well. So maybe before we go, what's next for you? Like, what are you working on next that's interesting that you know, is coming up in 2022 that you see as different or unique?
Yeah, I'm really excited because we have a few things in the oven that I can't speak to too explicitly. but I'm really excited for us to be building more and for us to be doing more long-term programs with our podcasters. So we do have a series coming out in February. That's a four-part series of branded bonus episodes within Guys Next Door that I'm super, super excited about. We are also releasing actually our first branded podcast in Mexico quite soon. And a few of the signings that we've had have really been thoughtful about reaching Latinx listeners, both in the U.S. and in Mexico and beyond. So I'm really excited to tap into that audience and kind of help grow the team to a place where we're able to be really thoughtful about reaching listeners in different languages across different, you know, communities in the U.S. and beyond.
It's exciting. And I do think more targeted audio content, both in the advertising and in the content itself, is a big part of the future. Thank you, Shantae, for being on the podcast. This has been a lot of fun.
Thanks so much for having me, Scott. So nice to meet you.